There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the best of the Tom Bernard Show.com, brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant.
Who, me?
Well, I'd like to know if I was married to a whore piece of shit. You could just look at her license.
My
special stripe.
That was amazing. Oh my gosh.
Coming by sweet corn, potatoes, onions, pickles.
It's not how you use them, sir.
It's really sickening that anybody would be into radio this much.
It is un-goddamn believable. I think I'm going to hell. I just realized it.
Thank you, Tom. You're just delicious.
This is why I drink.
We're here today with Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant. Michael, what's going on?
You know, we keep getting phone calls, and it's interesting because people try to handle a lot of stuff on their own, or they try to talk to the adjusters, or they wait, and they think maybe it'll cost them money if they talk to me. And, you know, we tell them it's free to talk to us. I go through what their rights are, and, you know, we try to help them as best we can. We don't sign everyone up. Sometimes I just give them advice and they go from there and then call us back later. But the key is that they don't know all their rights, or they're not told all their rights by the adjuster. And that's one of the things we try to make sure that they get, you know, they get that understanding, so they can help themselves and their families as best they can.
And the number is?
Is 800-770-7008. Or at the website, which is MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Brad Sean Bryant, Michael Bryant, thank you.
Seeking justice for the injured, Brad Sean Bryant.
Welcome back to yet another episode of the Best of the Tom Bernard Podcast, brought to you, as always, by Brad Sean Bryant. Kicking off the show this week, we had comedian Jimmy Schubert in studio. Kind of roasted Rick Bronson, to be honest. Next on the Best Of.
We are back. We're back, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're back. All right.
We sure are.
You can tell, I'm not Tom Bernard. The Tom Bernard Show, I'm Bob Sansevier. We're filling in for Tom. Fortunately, we have Jimmy Schubert here to make the time fly by. We appreciate that. Now, Jimmy, before we talk about the NFL owner, I hear there's a Syracuse basketball coach named Jim Boeheim who accidentally killed somebody.
Hey, man, three seconds in the lane. You know what I mean? You gotta move it along, bro. You only get 3 seconds. I know, that's horrible. He's 78 years old, so that might explain a little bit.
He's been cleared, though. He wasn't drunk.
No, he wasn't drunk. It's just, it's a tragic, however, that the guy lost his life.
He has stepped away from the team for now.
He said he claimed he didn't want to hit the car, which was on the side of the road. So he swerved away and wound up hitting the guy who owned the car. And my first thought was it distracted driving?
Well, the other question is, so the guy gets out of his car, but
is he on the street side of the car or the curb side or the?
I think he was the street side.
Oh well, that's just not smart.
Well, it happens all the time. I mean, people get out to change a tire on the freeway, and you know, and like you said, distracted driving is like, you know, that's
well,
a real
yeah.
thing with people texting. It's as bad as drunk driving is now. You know,
it totally is.
And so, you know, you got to pay. But I miss the days when people were speeding, when people like, you know, now everybody's looking at their phone and texting, and it's ridiculous. I mean, it's like I think people have lost their lives that way, mm-hmm. and because you're texting. I mean, they call it a smartphone for a reason. You should be able to operate it. But if you give a smartphone to a dumb person, it winds up killing them. They get hit by a bus because they're too busy texting.
Well, this is no way in defense of when people drive while drunk, but some drunk drivers will, like, they'll have their grip on the wheel and they're looking. They want to do everything they can to not, you know, to try to be attentive, but they can't because they're drunk. They pay more attention in some ways than distracted drivers. I once saw a woman, and this was even before texting was big. She had her that little thing where you flap. What do you call that thing? You know, when above your visor.
Visor.
Had the visor down with a mirror. She was driving with her knees and what would you call that, Melissa? When
curling her eyelashes.
Curl her eyelashes. Yep, she was doing that while she was driving.
There's actually a term for that. Women who put makeup on while they're driving.
Idiots.
Narcissism.
No, it's called farting. Not farting, but farting.
PH.
No.
F-A-R-D.
Oh, farting.
That's called farting.
Farting.
Why is that?
With a D.
That's just a term for it.
Farting. That's not a good name.
That's horrible.
Well, they'll have to come up. There's a term, I guess, that Robert Kraft did. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft being charged with two counts of soliciting someone to commit prostitution stemmed from a raid in a day spa in Florida, the aforementioned Orchards of Asia Day Spa. He was picked up. Here's what I don't get. What
did you think was going to happen at the Orchards of Asia Day Spa?
But he picked up as part of a sting that had been going on for months, and the charges relate specifically to two different visits to the Orchards of Asia Day Spa. You are the owner of the New England Patriots. Your team has won 6 Super Bowls mm-hmm. with you. You can't call them and have them come to your hotel? What, do you want to save on the extra? What is there? It must be an extra, little bit extra if they come to your hotel. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
you got to go to the spa.
Yeah, how old is he now?
He's got to be pushing 80.
He's in definitely in the 70s.
Yeah, that girl was going to earn every bit of that. It's not really the freshest product. It's like that old can of paint in the basement. It's
maybe that's
turned yellow and off color. You know?
We're not talking about Belichick, are we?
No. Robert Kraft, the owner.
Robert Kraft.
Maybe they have special tools there to help him.
He's 77.
Yeah.
And the NFL, his team, by the way, denies Kraft had committed a crime. Well, that's pretty smart of the guy who's the PR guy to say, oh, no, Mr. Kraft did nothing wrong.
Yeah, I always like when the news is like, you know, someone related to you does something bad. It's like, what do you think that person's going to say? It's like, oh, yeah, my son was a piece of crap. Arrest him.
I would.
It's like, well, I suppose, but most people are just...
My mother would have.
Huh. Yeah.
She told us she would have.
Yeah, moms always do that. Mm-hmm. Charlie Manson's mom still thinks he's innocent.
Yeah, exactly.
Despite the...
No, I'm saying my mom would have said, yeah, he did it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, your mom, yeah.
Your mom was rare one.
I remember when I was a younger, we got caught stealing steaks out of the supermarket, and we had to take them back and turn ourselves in. So we had to, you know, lean into it, and that, all of a sudden that wasn't fun anymore after you had to, like...
How'd you get them out? Put them in your pants, your shirt?
Yeah, stuck them in your pants. You put them... I had a big, like, tuck, and you just put the steaks, tucked them in your belt, and then I made it out. But, you know, the mom was like, yeah, where'd you get those? And now you got to take them back. So, and pay for, or go up and pay for them. So.
And then the store said, no, thank you, because they had been in your pants?
No, they weren't down. I didn't put them under my tank. They were frozen. They were cold steaks.
Well, that would have defrosted them, wouldn't it?
Get a bad piece of meat.
Now, does Mall of America, when do you have comics? What time is this? On Tuesday? What was your first day here? Wednesday? Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday. They did it. They had a roast on Thursday.
We had a roast on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
A local comedian.
Yeah.
No, because I was wondering if earlier in the week you ever thought of making the House of Yoshi or having a little massage going on there. You can really pack them in.
You know, we got the space for it, so why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I think they do. Like, there's great space for like sales presentations and stuff like that, like, you know, meetings or corporate meetings. It's a great space for that kind of thing. We just roasted at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in Arizona. We just roasted Shane Doan, NHL Hall of Famer, played for 19 years from the Phoenix Coyotes. Phoenix Coyote? Yeah, that sounds like something Robert Kraft will pay a hooker an extra $50 for. If you could just finish up with the Phoenix Coyote, that would be great. But the guy was, he played his whole career, 19 years with the Phoenix Coyotes, legendary scorer. It was actually a great event. It was a great event. But that's another one of Rick Bronson's clubs out there, which is great.
I have no idea if you're planning to, but please work that into one of your sets. That's terrific. He got the Phoenix Coyote. So how many, because I knew there was the Bronsons in Canada. There's Arizona, there's here. Did he open a few more?
Yeah, he's in the process of opening up a couple other clubs.
Just one in the Meadowlands that we're doing coming up soon. And I'm pretty sure they bought one in Burbank. And there's talks of Miami.
God, you could be set for 2 months straight.
Pasadena, yeah. Well, no, I think that they're. I don't want to talk out of school, but yeah, they're getting ready to make some big moves.
That's great.
So that's awesome. And the great people, Rick and Tammy Bronson, that run the club are amazing people. I love working for them. I consider them friends in this business where you don't really, you're friends with people who actually running own comedy clubs. It's very kind of rare. Most of the time, the way you don't like the people you're working for, but not the case here. They're great people.
So how about him? You got to put a word in for him, then maybe move up the ladder.
Yeah, well,
see how he works out for you.
We live in a meritocracy, so you get to earn it.
So when you do you do all of them? I mean, well, the ones that he has is you get booked for all three at once?
Yeah, I'm doing the one in Canada later in the year, and then I'm going to go back to Phoenix and stuff. Mm. And so I do them all.
Where's the Phoenix? Is it in? It's not in a mall, or is it
in North Phoenix? No, it's called High Street. It's an outdoor area. I actually, when we did the roast, I said, Rick, you call them the House of Comedy. They can't be called the House of Comedy when they're in malls, Rick. It's more like the kiosks of comedy. Rick Bronson's Kiosk of Comedy. The communities are okay, but they serve a great soft pretzel. they're great clubs. Rick knows how to run great clubs. The sound system's great. The experience is great. It's the seats are comfortable. It's really well done. Because Rick is actually used to do stand-up. He's actually, and he used to do magic. He's a magician, he's a comedian, and he's a club owner. It's like the douchebag hat trick. I'm actually roasting Rick Bronson on the radio. These are the roast jokes I did of him when we were at the Shane Doan roast. I'm getting a little mileage out of him. But no, I love Ricky Bronson. He's a great dude.
I was going to say, prop comic, huh?
Prop comic. Prop.
Is that something you ever thought of or wanted to do, own your own place so you don't have to travel?
Yeah, I'd probably do a residency in Las Vegas before I would ever do the cruise ships or own the club. I would probably just kind of do my thing. But I just got passed at the Magic Castle as a magician member, so I actually magic is something I've been doing my whole life. So I just kind of had to go in an audition, and they had to pass me as a magician member, which means you can perform at the Magic Castle, which is this legendary magic venue to perform at. So
that's true. I mean, you are a magician too.
Yeah,
do you ever do it in your act?
I'm a hardcore hobbyist. No, I don't do it in my act at all. I don't cross the streams because people come to a comedy club want to see comedy. I may do like 45 minutes of stand up, but then I'm trying to figure out what I could do. Like maybe I'd close with another 15 minutes of magic at the end, just as like a bonus thing,
When'd you get into that? You've been doing comedy longer than magic, or did you start magic?
No, I started magic
a
long time ago. Magic, I was doing some nine. It's like the poor, like Steve Martin says in his book, it's the poor. The poor man's way into show business. You go to a magic shop, you buy a trick, and then you're performing for people. And so it's kind of like if you're not a member of the Lucky Sperm Club, if your daddy's not, a famous actor or something, there's a lot of nepotism going on in show business,
Do you get begged for people to tell you the trick?
Yeah, all the time.
And you can't, though.
How'd you do it? And I always write down 798.3. And I said, you can find everything you need to know here. And they look at it and go, 793.8. What is it? I go, that's the Dewey Decimal System for all the magic books are in the library. So if you want to know and put the research in, you can find out there. I would never tell. I spent hours of my life learning how to do this. It's like the oldest art form in the world. And I'm just going to tell you how I did it. You know what I mean? I know. You figure it out. I'm not saying I'm a real wizard. I'm not Harry Potter or anything, but, a lot of work goes into it, so.
So you're not like the Harry Houdini type where they stick you in a you know, in a case and they drop you into a river. You're talking more about...
No, lots of times I am like Harry Houdini, and in the fact that I try to escape from bad conversations I have.
Like this one.
No, I was just trying to. I was just trying to make a quick joke off the cuff, and it kind of backfired.
No, I'm fascinated by that. That you know the whole magic thing, because some of it is you just sit there and you know there's a trick somewhere, but you just can't figure out what it is.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of things on a lot of different levels. There's the sleight of hand, obviously. There's presentation that kind of makes it seem like a great trick, and there's misdirection, and it's like the oldest art form in the world. It goes back thousands of years to ancient Greece. I mean, some of these tricks, like the cups and balls, they have hieroglyphics of these guys doing this stuff. I mean, it's an ancient art form. I just love the deceptiveness of it. It's so devious, and you like figure out these men and go, oh my God, that's brilliant. And somebody actually thought of that. And I think that's what I find fascinating about it, because they say one of the best ways to like keep a trick a secret is to put it in a book, because nobody reads books anymore. So you publish it in a book and nobody will read it. But I like the history of it. I like all the stories and the stuff, and I also love performing it. So and it's really just a hobby. It's not anything. Now that I got past the Magic Castle, I may start thinking about doing it professionally. As just you know,
do you bring stuff with you to keep practicing?
All the time. I'm in a hotel room for 8 hours a day. I mean, you can only masturbate so much. You know what I'm saying, Robert Kraft? Last time I brought it back full circle. Yeah, that's right. Last time I had an orgasm, knee cartilage came out. That can't be good. I pick up a deck of cards and start figuring out how to. I'll get to my room. I'll set up with a deck of cards and a close up mat. I start working on specific moves and just kind of, because the practice is what you have to enjoy practicing as much as you enjoy performing, because that's what makes it good. You have to be able to do everything without thinking about it.
What was the first one you did as a kid?
There's a trick called the acrobatic silks, where the silks were in this little wooden thing, and they would switch places, and there was really, because they were like kind of threaded in there, and people go, how did they move? And then we just move and switch. And so I think that I had a job at delivering circulars, and every Monday my brother Bob had drum lessons, and my brother Joe played the guitar, and so me and my mom would drop them at the music lessons, and we had an hour to kill, and about three blocks down the way there was a magic shop, and so I would go in with my little $10 I had saved from delivering circulars, and I could buy one trick, and on the way out I'd get one trick, and I would buy one joke book, and I started keeping like a little joke file. And then when I hit 18, I retired to Rabbit, hung up the wand, and started telling jokes at comedy club. but I got my performance chops. I got my performance chops, and my writing had to catch up with that. So it took me a little while, but I've been kind of doing it my whole life. It was just something that little 9-year-old kid that got magic kid is dictating my whole life.
But you never worked it into the act even like one bit? Because I think it'd be really fun
to
see.
No, when I do magic, it's hilarious. Like, I do like adult close-up magic. I mean, it's my personality, my stand-up, my personality comes through when I'm doing a trick. So it is hilarious. But I just don't. It's just interesting because it's close-up magic. You can't really do it on a stage. It's kind of like, but I've done it. Like, I've done my stand-up comedy show, and I've come out to the bar, and people come out, and I've done like another 20 or 30 minutes just doing close-up stuff.
That's really neat. Yeah. All right, we're going to, and again, Rick Bronson's House of Comedy tonight and tomorrow night, two shows.
Also, and people can go get my new hour special. It's available. Go to jimmyschubert.com. It'll take you right to the Vimeo platform. It's like $3.99 to rent, $9.99 to buy. If you want to have a good time and watch my special, you'll enjoy it immensely.
We'll give you more information. Be right back.
Best of the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Oh, ho, ho, it's magic.
Jimmy Schubert on the best of. Coming up next, Tim Harmston. Comedian Tim Harmston was in studio talking Florida, massage parlors, you know, Florida stuff. Next on the best of.
Leaning on my pillow in the morning. Lazy day in bed. Music in my head.
Welcome back to the Tom Bernard Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, and we have Tim Harmston. Now, Tim, in our last segment, we talked about Robert Kraft. I don't know if you've heard about him, the little prostitution sting at the Orchard of Asia, something or other. But the reason I brought it up is there's a story out that he's not the biggest name involved.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
And they haven't identified who the biggest name is yet, but Adam Schefter on ESPN said there's a bigger name. Would that lead you to believe that it could be somebody in the NFL? You know, and how far? My
Tom
question.
Tom Brady.
No. How far? Is, I just have a question. I'm not making. How far is Mar-a-Lago from this place? They are buddies.
Not that far.
Have you ever driven to Jupiter?
No.
Okay, so it's right up the coast from West Palm, and my wife and I drove up there one time because I heard that Tiger Woods was building a house. You know, and I was like, let's just drive.
Him, it's Tiger.
Yeah. Well, hey, that whole strip is literally every name in show business and sports. It's I don't know what they call it, like the Miracle Mile or something, but it's like, it's probably a 10-mile Outer Banks type of drive, and it's the most expensive, exclusive. And so, yeah, this could be really interesting. This could be juicy.
Well, let's hope it breaks in the next 45 minutes or so within the hour, because now I really want to know who it is. But, you know, I also, Tim, I said in the last segment, you're Robert Kraft. You own the Patriots. They can't come to you.
Yeah.
You can't just have them come over. You have to get caught. And apparently there's surveillance and video of everything happening.
I know.
Yet the team's denying that he's involved. Yeah.
Who's the happiest man in America outside of Robert Kraft after he's done?
Roger Goodell?
No, Jesse Smollett.
Oh, yeah.
Between Robert Kraft and R. Kelly, he's been wiped off the front page.
He's a lucky guy.
He's become, he's made himself into yesterday's news. He did earlier today, he was cut out of the last two segments of Empire. But again, why not just dump him entirely? Why are they holding on to him?
Because technically he hasn't been convicted of anything yet, so technically he could still be innocent.
Well, it doesn't matter.
He's not,
Roseanne was never convicted of anything.
That's true, she wasn't.
That was the overreach and over-panic.
Yes,
at the highest level on that one.
Well, what I wonder, and Tim, you live in Minnesota, and you understand this whole area. I would not be surprised if we saw Al Franken run again for his own seat.
Yeah,
because he got caught up in the Me Too thing just when it was raging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we're learning so much about the news cycle this last couple of years. You know, where it seems like every day, you know, you're, like I woke up this morning from my horrific hangover, and my phone was just blazing. Like, literally every friend I had was texting me, man, Robert Kraft, Google it, you know, and I'm just like, what happened, you know?
I thought he died when Jimmy said.
Did he get caught up in the Mueller thing, or what's going on, you know? It's like, and then, you know, and then seconds later, you know, the R. Kelly story breaks, and then this, and it's like, it's a really interesting thing how the politicians that are going to run for president have a whole year of sustaining this, you know, insane news cycle, and it's just, it's fascinating, the age that we live in. I know that's a very old man thing to say, but these texts are fascinating.
Well, and now, and I wonder where, to me, it's just more pandering for votes, but we happen to be fortunate enough to have an African-American with us to answer this question. Should...
How long have I been doing that in this market?
Should African-Americans, much Kamala Harris and... what's the other one? The one that had with the Native American alleged
Elizabeth Warren
are saying that there should be reparations to African Americans over slavery.
I've been waiting for my 40 acres and a mule box.
Well, now you and I though we're kind of related because you know we go everything went through Sicily, so I should be getting that too, shouldn't I? I mean, you can't get closer than the Moors and having that influence in Italy.
That is true.
But we did. This country did do that for the people that they imprisoned wrongly during World War II in internment camps.
But when did they do it, though? They did it shortly afterward, not 150 or 60 years afterward.
I mean, just give me the value of 40 acres and a mule.
Hey, if I get mine too, I'm happy with it.
40 acres in Jupiter, Florida.
I'll tell you what, my God, imagine that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, what, the value of 40 acres of, like, tundra in Alaska?
Yeah.
Here's your $15.
Western North Dakota.
In the area that you were born in.
So you want to go back to St. Louis with your 40 acres. 40 acres in St. Louis have some value.
Yeah.
Tell me you want the Budweiser land.
Yeah. Not as much as you think it would, but because my parents had a duplex, owned a duplex. My dad got it from his father when my parents both died. And it's been upkept and everything. And we did an appraisal on the house. $47,000.
Oh, man.
Really?
That's how bad property value is in, in the inner city of St. Louis.
Well, you should have grown up in Key West, because when we're talking about that, I mean, these little tiny cottages are going for $1 million and $2 million.
Yep.
It's incredible how much values have gone up there.
Well, a lot of those people in Key West are never there. That's where they go for Christmas. And then, so you just pick a house and move in.
Do they drive down from Jupiter?
Yeah. I don't know. It's an escape. I always have a theory about the Keys where everything that runs downward in Florida ends up and trickles into the lake because people are hiding, and there's, you know, there's like this smuggler's kind of mentality. You've been down there, right?
Well, we were there last week with KQ, but Justin, there we drove through Key Largo and whatever. How many cities do you drive through from Miami to get there? I know Key Largo. Do you go through Marathon too?
Key Largo, Marathon, and then
there's another key, isn't there?
Isla Mirada.
Okay,
yeah.
So you've been through all of them?
I did. We used to work on the tourism campaign for the Florida Keys as when I was in the film business, and I was an art director. So I spent many, many weeks, if not months, down there just driving up and down the Keys trying to find the right sailboat and the right this. And it was so much fun down there.
So which one, because I was telling my wife Mary, because she had surgery so she couldn't go, that I thought, and I think I mentioned it to you yesterday when you were on the KQ Morning Show, that it's like – it's like going to New Orleans and going into the French Quarter but without the debauchery, which is what it's like in the, you know, that old town section.
Yeah.
But what was, if you were to tell someone going to the Keys, would you tell them Key West, Key Largo, Marathon, Isle of Mar- which is the nicest one, did you think?
The great thing about the Keys, and I feel like the promotional or the tourism president of the Keys, but it's like a lot of people use the Keys for fishing, right? So if you fish, you want to go to Marathon. And because they have some of the best charters and the boats and stuff. But if you like to party, you go to Key West because you're going to sit at a bar and drink and wear beads and listen to Jimmy Buffett and do all that. If you like to do kayak, you know, a lot of people do stand-up paddleboarding through the mangroves and the kayaking, the canoeing. There's just so many different activities that people do, and each kind of city along the way is kind of like tailor-made for that. And Key Largo is right at the very top as you enter the Keys, and that's more of like you know, like a Hilton hotel and beachfront property.
Well, I just want to like beach myself like Jabba the Hutt and just you know, and then go out to eat afterwards. So we were told Key West had like the beach was like 12 miles or 12 minutes away. There's not a lot of big
not
beaches.
A lot of beach. Nope.
What about in Key Largo or the other places?
Same deal. Like a lot of the waterfront is not beach. People get there's Bahia Honda State Park, which has all the beach, but it's a state park. So you kind of go in, you pay a fee, and then you use it. That's where the railroad bridge, you drove through it at night, but there's like a bridge that's kind of like halfway done that was on the movie True what's the Schwarzenegger, remember when they're
I know exactly which one
you know what I'm talking about, when they're in that
True Lies.
True Lies, yeah, that's right there.
Okay,
so you missed that because it was dark, but but I don't know, but there's a misconception that the Keys have a lot of sand, and they don't, because people go there and like, hey, it's like Puerto Rico or whatever. It's not. It's more like historic. And
so back up, I never knew that you did work on the film crew that did that sort of thing. How long were you doing film?
Oh, I started when I was 19. And so I was a prop guy, and I was I talked to Tom about this one time, and I worked as a prop master in Chicago in the 90s, and so I would be the guy handing Michael Jordan his Gatorade.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I did. I worked all over the country doing these tourism commercials, but the Key West ones were always my favorite. Because
when did you decide at what age, or I got to get out of this, I got to do comedy?
I got to go get rich in comedy. I started when I was 30 because there was comedy was something I always wanted to do, and I was like, I'm 30. If I don't start now, you can't. It's hard to start when you're older. You know, you don't see a lot of comics that start when they're, you know, they're starting so much younger, wouldn't you say, Brandon?
Like 16, 17.
16, yeah. They got improv in their high schools and stuff.
What's the youngest guy you've ever booked?
Oh,
Like paid to come in.
Swartzen.
Got to be 18, right? At least.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
I think Lewis was headlining Swartzen when he was in his early 20s.
Really? You
know? Yeah, and that's super rare. I mean, that is super rare. Yeah, but yeah, there's comics out doing open mics that are 18, 19 years old. They can't even have a beer, you know? It's like, it's crazy.
They try, though, don't they?
Well, that's how Dave Chappelle started. At that age. He said he started it.
I think Eddie Murphy did too, didn't he?
He said he had the nerve to walk into a place at like 14 or 16 and say,
"Yeah,
I want some time." And they gave it to him.
Chappelle, yeah. I mean, and that's I always regret, but I also feel that when you start later, you have more to talk about. Like you also you have a, you know, like 18-year-old kids. What do they know?
Yeah,
nowadays?
It's like no one cares what they have to say.
That's the truth.
Now,
yeah,
where are you? Because and we've talked Brian Miller, who you know.
Yeah.
Well, Brian had said that he feels. I think the number was 300. You got to do like 300 open mics before you ever feel you're ready to actually try to do it. I mean, is there a number? Do you see people that hit immediately?
I think when you look at Minnesota, you look at, like, Swartzen was funny out of the gate. And there's people like, you know, Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah.
And Chad Daniels. That got people like that, Maria Bamford, they're born funny. Like, they are funny from the minute they enter the world. And so for them, I think it's just a matter of finding their voice. And then there's people, I think, that are more writers, you know, people that write jokes that have to learn how to do this, you know, or they're not maybe funny, you know. And I always thought that I was somewhere in between where I was a you know, a decent writer and funny, but I had to kind of cultivate both of them. But I feel like for a guy like me, it took me 5 years before I didn't, you know, make a mess in my pants when I would go on stage. It was about 5 years where I was like, okay, I can do this without shaking or, you know, having to have a shot of tequila beforehand.
Well, both of you, because you run Acme, you must see, especially on open night, people who have great material, but they just can't deliver it.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who have great delivery and no material.
Yeah. Right?
There's some people are so natural. I was going to mention, like, Coleman. Greg Coleman, I feel like, is just so natural up there.
Yep.
Like, he could just talk about anything and be funny.
Yeah, so. And I feel like my wife, you know, she was a musician for a long time, so she was already used to being on stage, and she was a kindergarten teacher before that, and so she was always used to being in front of people, so when she decided to start comedy, she already had 5 years of being on, you know, the spotlight on stage, and so...
Well, Tim, that begs the question, does she treat you like a five-year-old sometimes and rebuke you. Like,
where's the sounder?
Yeah, I was going to say, Andy, can you play that for us, please?
Oh, yeah.
There's this bit where she kind of gets on Philip about being racist.
But you say the Korean barbecue.
Oh, Korean barbecue is phenomenal.
Are they the ones that eat dog?
What? Who's the racist now?
No, baby.
Now, are you a little worried that Philip Lyons was calling your wife baby?
I know. I got to have a talk with Philly Dog here.
No, he is so much fun.
I love that guy.
We hung out in Key West, and he's just, all of you know Philip. He's just, he's delightful.
Oh, my God.
That's probably the best word I could come up for to describe him.
Did he have people, did he wear his Jets jersey? Did he have people?
No, he didn't. But he does. He's always coordinated, though, in some sort of a running gear or running outfit. Or, you know, and when he gets dressed up, he cuts quite the dashing figure.
Yeah.
We'll do it in each one, but give people your times tonight and tomorrow night.
Okay. The 8 p.m. shows are sold out. I'm happy to
Big
say.
Shot.
Yeah.
There you go.
So the 10:30 show will have tickets for tonight, and I'm assuming there's a few tickets for
tomorrow too,
late show. So
no Sunday?
No Sunday. So, and tonight, 8 and 10:30, and then tomorrow, 8 and 10:30, and the 8s are sold out. So.
Well, he is a big shucks. You make the other guys that aren't very good do Sunday, don't you?
Church not open on Sunday, so yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And by the way, I want to mention, because when I had a studio, and when Tom had his studio, I used his old one, and I greatly appreciated that, but I would eat at your place sometimes. You have some really good food there at Acme, so people should stop over there and grab some chow on their way, you know, either going to the going to the comedy show or just going and grabbing something to eat. It's really good.
Oh, and they got great beer on tap too, by the way.
Yep. And we're gonna take a quick break, and when we get back, more with Tim Harmston in a moment.
Best of the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that? Jig it out,
That was Tim Harmston on the Best Of. Coming up next, closing out the show, we're opening up the old vault. All the way back to episode 592 with Orny Adams during a snowstorm. Should make us feel right at home on the Best Of.
Indian, Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, or Asian. I only came for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always wind up staying. This the type of town I can spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing.
Tiptoe through the window, through the window, on the world.
Was this the day that Tiny Tim married Miss Vicky on The Tonight Show or something?
No, it's a happy song that's not with the snow outside.
Oh, it's so happy, I'm sure, if you're in Palm Beach, Florida. But, you know, if you're here... Now, Mike...
Yeah, we had a really tough drive. You know, we went to Target today.
Oh, did you?
No traffic and no weather.
Yeah, it's got to be very, very difficult, just the whole Target thing. Yeah, 5 minutes away. It's just beautiful. I think Orny just walked into the outer studio. Yeah, he's on his phone still. Mike from Blaine, do you have any questions for Catherine, Alex, and Andy? Have you done any research?
I don't do research on the family.
Why not? Is it too creepy?
Please don't.
Yeah.
Too creepy?
You could find some,
stuff about mom.
And if you do, could you delete it?
Yes, that's true. You could find out weird stuff about Catherine. I'd like that. I'd enjoy that.
Criminal history is a little scary.
Ryan Burnett said to say hello to everybody down there, by the way. I talked to Ryan last night.
Their Christmas card was so cute.
I know it was. It was great.
Layla's adorable.
Yes, indeed. A wonderful guy. Like I said, business partner. I wish all my business partners were like Ryan Burnett.
He looks like he's 15.
Did you see the story I sent you?
What?
About the urban lumberjack look, bringing back masculinity. I thought you'd be happy about that.
Urban lumberjack? Well, that's the hipster look.
Urban lumberjack. Come on in, Arnie. Good to see you. We just thought the family is down in Palm Beach, Florida. I'm up here working like a dog. But my wife, my son, and my daughter are all nice to see you.
Are we working?
Yeah,
It's called lumber sexual. Of course it is.
Pulling it up right now.
Yeah, you can sit right there.
Right here?
Yeah, no, you're on camera then.
Lumber sexual is like the urban lumberjack look. It's called lumber sexual now.
It's bringing back masculinity.
It's bringing back a parody of masculinity.
Oh, water,
it's bringing back plaid and beards. Yeah.
He will grab you a bottle of water, absolutely. Orny Adams just walked in. He sat down. He hasn't put his headphones on yet.
He'll have a lot to say about.
I'm going to get to that in a minute.
He's going
to
get to that in a minute. He's chewing his gum right now.
It's ginger.
You're chewing ginger? I'm
chewing ginger.
Why are you chewing ginger?
To adjust to this tremendous climate that I've walked into.
So, Orny Adams, Catherine, Andy, and Alex are down in Palm Beach, Florida. Mm-hmm. Mike from Blaine, Bonnie from Blaine. Mike is a. He will ask you questions that you don't think anybody knows about. You.
Wow.
He does phenomenal research.
I like it.
So Orny is eating ginger so he doesn't get pneumonia.
I love ginger. I have ginger every day.
Yeah.
Bravo.
When I lived to 108, and they say, what was the trick?
Right.
You shot a whiskey.
Yeah.
And a ginger chew.
And a ginger chew.
Two gingers whiskey, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be the same. That's true. It's a good point.
There's no ginger in two gingers whiskey. Well, then it's false.
It's two redheads.
Two redheads.
Two gingers. That means two ginger roots.
Alex, your name did come up on the morning show this morning because Orny was talking about vegans.
What did you say? You made fun of me, I'm sure. Is it super positive?
Nobody made fun of you.
We didn't name names.
Other than saying my name came up on the morning show.
So Orny Adams is at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday, and Sunday. Thank you, sir. And Sunday. Now, Well, Mike from Blaine's champing at the bit over here to get at Orny.
Oh, no. I'm going to let it flow till the end.
I don't understand what from Blaine. What does that mean?
Blaine is a town. Blaine, Minnesota.
Oh.
Everybody calls it. Orny, I don't know why this is, but we get tons of calls into this show,
mm-hmm.
and everybody calls in. His name is Mike.
Mm-hmm.
There's Mike from St. Paul. There's mm-hmm. Mike from Blaine. I mean, so you have to identify the city you're from, otherwise, we don't know who the hell you are.
We have three mics in the studio with you right now.
Yeah.
No, 4, 5, 6.
Well, he's a live person, Mike.
We got all kinds of them. No, yeah, it's Mike Molina, Mike Rasmussen, Mike from Blaine, Mike from St. Paul. Everybody's name is Mike.
Yeah, other than me.
Orny's texting
someone.
Because
you're
right
a
now.
Vegan.
Exactly.
I have to tell.
Vegans can't be named Mike.
I'm sick of this vegan. I've had enough.
Vegan and vegetarian.
By the way, broadcast history was made today on the KQ Morning Show. You want to know why?
Because mm-hmm. you made fun of me for the 1,000,000th time.
No, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. A black man asked Orny Adams, what kind of name is Orny?
It was odd. I said, is this really happening? Is a black person questioning a unique name? But what I thought was funny was he would bring race into everything. Like, he plays the downtrodden race card.
He does, yes.
You're talking about Philip?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Philip.
Yeah, Philip.
Sounds Philip-esque.
All of a sudden, I'm talking about license plates. And he starts talking about race again. I said, only you could bring race into a discussion about license plates.
Well, that's because they make them in prison, which is...
Racist.
Racist, Catherine.
Come on,
that's Catherine. My lovely wife that just said that.
How could you be that bitter with the weather so nice down there?
I don't know.
I'm not bitter.
I don't know how it works. I really don't. It's just kind of. Do you ever play the Improv down in Palm Beach?
I love it.
Isn't it a great
West
club?
Palm. It seats West like Palm. 700.
Yeah, it's a great club.
It's amazing.
When you're down there,
is that where we
have to come visit my family?
What's his face?
No.
He's in Florida.
Who?
Oh no,
the guy was just talking. You were looking around.
Yeah, you can't see me. I'm a ghost.
My son, my daughter, and my wife are all down there. So they're all having a ball, and I'm up here freezing my ass off and work.
You're coming on Saturday.
For about an hour, then I have to leave.
Yeah, if he can get out of this airport, it's snowing. Negative 20 below.
How much snow is there?
There's no... You can't even see what side of the road you're on. Like, all of a sudden, you're like,
blizzard.
I think we're on the wrong side of the street, because you can't
Makes
see.
It more fun.
Right.
Yeah, the guy who drove over here, we parked in some parking lot, and you have to know what... number spot you're in to pay for the ticket.
Yeah, he can't do it.
Whoa, he dug for a good 10 minutes trying to find the spot. No, yes.
Oh,
he
God.
Did?
Yes.
I wouldn't
wow,
be digging.
That's an honest chap.
How did they expect you to put your number in when there's like 3 feet of snow on top?
I just don't.
You literally, when we went over,
it's like you can't drive.
I had to run to St. Paul today and was coming back over the bridge and we're going 94 west. From 94 west, you could not see the buildings in downtown Minneapolis.
Oh, man.
There, it was just... It was white out. It was unbelievable.
Any trouble, Captain, seeing the palm trees down there?
Hey, it's raining slightly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there's a light mist.
Visibility is 99%.
Yeah. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
Everyone's a comedian.
No, Arnie, I mean, you go. This
I
is
actually
how you...
am one.
Well, and a TV star. Don't forget that part.
Yeah.
Star. Be a star.
Yeah, he's a big shot.
Teen Wolf. Fifth season.
Fifth season, yeah. Yeah. Do you know that the last time I was here, do you remember we got into a little bit of a controversy, you and I?
Oh, that's right, because somebody jumped
off the...
That's right!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People were jumping off the Mall of America.
I remember that.
Right. I totally remember that.
You were at the house, though, weren't you? Didn't you come to the house rather than
yeah,
here?
Yeah, this was in March of 2013.
Oh, you were in the studio?
Yeah.
Oh,
what?
Because we just moved. What? So that was...
It was March 8th, 2013. I looked it up. We weren't in the studio by then, were we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we were. We had just come into the studio.
And there was actually wine in the wine cellar. And now I've noticed that's no longer there.
Oh, there's wine in there.
Is there?
Sure. You want some wine? You want a glass of wine?
No, I'm fine for now. I was going to take a bottle, but...
Wait, think about it. You can do that too if you want.
As a thank you gift.
As a thank you gift for appearing. Explain, Orny.
Yeah.
Somebody had jumped to their death or something just before you got there or something, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And they thought we were making fun of them or what was it? I remember exactly. I don't remember the exact circumstances of why somebody got mad.
Well, they got mad because I yelled, now the show's not sold out. We got one ticket now for the 10 p.m. Saturday.
10
and that
p.m. Saturday.
Was seen as insensitive. I don't remember what...
it was something like that.
No,
it's
it wasn't.
A good joke. It just was too soon, perhaps.
It wasn't.
10 seconds after the...
Oh, it was because I was telling you that 6 months ago, before this is now 2.5 years ago or whatever, that somebody had jumped off the fifth floor of the parking ramp right outside House Comedy. And it just so happened that while I was telling Ernie Adams that, somebody else did it right when we were talking.
And we may have said, like, I think I would have said, well, why the fifth floor? Wouldn't you go from a higher floor?
Go higher!
Floor
That's exactly that
you're
what
definitely going to die and not...
That's exactly what it was.
But I offended, you know, when you're discussing and not necessarily thinking, there's going to be, you know, a guy today, I'm having coffee, and he said, you know, what kind of comedy do you use the four-letter word? And I thought, my God, people are shooting people in France for drawings, and we're worried about the four-letter word? Like, how many more years left before all the people that are afraid of the four-letter word die? Like, aren't they a dying breed? Isn't there more things that we could be concerned about on the planet? I mean, there's horribleness going on. Starving.
Yeah.
There's an occasional Ebola outbreak that never outbreaks.
There's a woman a block from here, grandma, having cat food for dinner, and you want a free bottle of wine. It's an atrocity.
I was going to go over there and drink it with her and eat cat food. I'm the asshole. You've got 50 bottles of wine over there. I just want one.
I don't get any. I just, you know, sit here and just work. All I do is work. This is terrible.
Oh,
I was talking to Ornie this morning. Shut up. My wife told me to shut up. I was talking to Ornie about the fact, you know, you said you traveled all to, what are they called, trade shows? I mean, they're not called trade shows. What are they?
They're called Teen Wolf Cons.
Cons, okay. It's like Comic-Con.
Like Comic-Con, yeah.
Teen Wolf in its fifth season.
And I host them. I go over, I was just in Germany.
Oh, hosting. You do host them.
I do host it. Yeah, I pitch myself to host it, so I would host all the Q&As.
It's a good idea.
It's great, because I'm the only one who has live stage experience. And I'll go out with the cast, and I'll be big and get these huge laughs, and I'll look around, like, waiting for somebody to interrupt me. Nobody interrupts me. Then I sit down afterwards, I think, who's going to be angry at me for getting too many laughs? Nobody's angry at me.
Wonderful.
And they're just so happy that I actually, like, kill some time.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to being in front of a live audience, which I am. So
yeah,
I love
which is great. But because I asked Ernie this morning, I said, are you doing a lot of traveling? What are you doing? Why have you not been here for 2 years? You know, all these things. He said, because, you know, he's busy with the fifth season of Teen Wolf, and then he's doing all these Teen Wolf cons and going on the road as well. I mean, how many nights are you appearing on stage now doing live comedy?
My 2015 is booked solid.
It's just book solid.
That's it. I think I have November, December, I've got holds. But, yeah, I actually, I'm now, there's been a turn. I don't know what happened, but in the last 2 years, I don't know if it's representation or the fact that I've been working so much, but something happened, and I'm booked nonstop, and I'm loving it. I never thought, I used to look at comics like Ralphie May. And
yeah, Ralphie Rain.
How are you on the road all the time?
Yes.
How do you do? And now that I've been on the road all the time now for a little bit here, you just get used to it. You adjust, and it's fascinating. It's interesting and fun to figure out ways to stay sane and keep the act fresh.
Right.
And I feel just so fortunate because there have been times where there's, you know, just plenty of open weekends on my calendar.
Really? But see, I've never known that.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been... I'm trying to think. How long ago was the documentary come out?
What year?
Yeah, Mike.
2002, I think.
2002.
It might have been... right after 9... We taped it before 9/11.
Yeah.
And then it may have come out.
02. It was released in 2002.
There you go.
So Mike from Blaine already comes slamming home with some good advice. You can leave now, Mike. But, see, I just assumed after, for the last 15 years, you've been very, very busy, but I didn't know that.
No, I had trouble after that came out getting work for a while.
That pissed me off, by the way.
Why?
Because you got sandbagged.
Because you got sandbagged.
Yeah, they're thrown under the bus pretty much.
Yeah. Don't you think? Unless you don't want to talk about it.
I have a very foggy perspective on this.
What causes the fog, do you think, or caused it at that time?
You ever heard the expression "the fog of war"?
Yes, the fog. Yes.
Have you ever heard the expression "the fog of Seinfeld"? Have you ever?
Well, I remember you read. I read you. You didn't actually when they approached you to do it.
Easy,
you went,
Mike. Easy, how you ask it. No, go ahead.
When they approached you to do it, they didn't say you were going to be like the main star of it. You were just going to be like a bit part or something.
Well, I didn't know what I was. I could never imagine it was a documentary about Seinfeld that I would be so heavily intertwined.
Right.
But, you know, I was myself. I said those things. And, you know, yeah, they're trying to make a story. And right. The best story that is
they need a
compelling.
Bad guy.
Yeah. I was, as Sarah Silverman says, a villain in a documentary.
But yeah. It was not. You were not a villain of your own accord. They made you out to be something you're not. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess because I've known you, I didn't see you as self-important. But some people did because of that movie, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that the difference between now and then is I'm able to convey my character better. So there's a scene in that documentary where mm-hmm. I'm going out to a car service. And
you have to open that.
Yeah, I have to open my own door. Now,
I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, of course. Not a lot of the people didn't understand that it was a joke. And they, and in this day and age, they're going to look for anything to just massacre and just destroy somebody. Any little thing. And that I gave them too many openings. Now I seem to be more savvy how I say things. So there aren't so many.
I just never saw that in you at all. It was always funny to me.
Yeah, well, you're smart.
Yeah, maybe that's the difference. Yeah. You know, there's by coincidence, Orny, I think that was, what was the date last time Orny was on the show?
March 8th, 2013.
March 8th. Yeah, so the last time I saw you, about 2 weeks after I saw you, I stopped drinking. It was your fault.
Yeah, really?
All your, I did, yeah.
And you're being cheap with the wine.
No! Listen, I don't want to open any doors, though. Well,
we just went from me being a comedian to me causing you to not drink? What happened?
No, I think the reason I tied it in was because Mike from Blaine pointed out that I stopped drinking March, 29th. March 29th of 2013. And Mike has pointed out that I have not once in the last 2 years told anyone to go fuck themselves on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's a coincidence.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't been on Twitter
at
all.
You used to do it quite regularly.
Huh.
It's not a coincidence.
I have this thing. It's like, I'm going to say some smart-ass thing to Tom on Twitter. That doesn't work with me at all. That's not going to work at all. So, yeah, I got to get back on Twitter, though. Because I was talking to you on Twitter for a while.
Yeah, Brando is your profile picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You talk about a stretch. But anyway, yeah, I got to get back. I got back on just, about a month and a half ago?
Yeah, you were on a couple days and then.
And I will get back on, but I've been running around like a madman.
What have you been up to?
I got all this different stuff going on. I'm going to be traveling a lot the rest of the winter. I was just
lots of complaining.
Lots of complaining.
Yeah. A lot of complaining. Other people.
For a second, I thought I was married. Like this voice just pipes into your head. Just when everything's going right in your life.
That's exactly right.
Just,
isn't
just
it?
All of a sudden, there's a it's reminder.
That was his daughter, by the way.
It was my daughter. You're actually, welcome. She's
it can be hard to tell.
I was trying to keep you grounded.
But in any case, are you going to hold off for the very how many minutes of questions do you have for Orny?
Don't make us stay late, Mike.
10 minutes.
No. Don't do it.
I'll bring it up during a commercial break.
Shouldn't he throw one in now just for?
Well, that's what I thought, but he doesn't want to do that. He wants to be alone with you.
Orny, don't do it.
Orny, don't do it.
All right, you had us. Encounter with Robin Williams, that was very interesting, I read about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't really talk about it much, but you can read. I did write a blog about it. Robin, you know, one of those few people that you meet and only have, you know, like a few, you spend a few times with. You know, I was with him a few times and would consider him a very dear, close friend.
Right, right.
We just had a connection. I believe, and just was really supportive. But yeah, I've told the story on some podcasts. I don't really talk about it that much anymore, but it's there's definitely a blog.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything specific about that night I can tell you?
Well, when he did this thing on the stage with the show, when he came out, and
yeah,
that was great.
Well, I'd never heard a room get louder. Never heard
what did
a room
he do?
Get louder.
You're a better storyteller.
I'm a professional.
Exactly.
Much better storyteller.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I would encourage people to read the blog. It was powerful.
Is it difficult for you to talk about it?
It's one of those things where I got really irritated after he died because I don't like when people exploit somebody's death.
Well, they do.
And I am so sick of pundits going on and telling me universally how every comedian is.
That's true, yeah.
I almost called these networks and wanted to yell and go, you get your expert off the, TV. Because just because what's going on, like, let's say he's guilty, Bill Cosby, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean every comic is doing that.
No.
And
no,
comics represent the cross-section of the world. So if there are people that are happy, there are that percentage of people of comics that are happy. Depressed, comics happy, drinkers, non-drinkers, vegans. Yes, some of us are even vegans.
Not you,
no,
but some of us.
No, I got to have some energy when I'm up on stage.
This episode set a record-breaking February for Clipfall on this episode of the Best of the Tom Bernard Podcast, brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant. Great clips this week from Jimmy Schubert, Tim Harmston, and Orny Adams. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you next week.